It is my privilege to accept that assignment and do my part in assisting us all to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is Mark 10, verse 46 through 52, as we make our way through the Gospel of Mark on a journey with Jesus through the Gospels. The title of our study this morning is A Real Eye-Opener. I invite you with me on this journey to step into a scene in Southern California. We are at the happiest place on earth, at least at the beginning of the day, a place called Disneyland. Disneyland is about to open. They're having a dedication service and a celebration, and the dedication speaker is up there going on and on and on, and he makes this comment: isn't it sad that Walt Disney never lived to see this day? Walt Disney had died about 5 years before the Disneyland theme park opened up. It's sad that he's not here to see this special day. The speaker exited the stage and was quickly accosted by one of the Disney insiders, the Disney executives, who corrected him quickly with this comment: sir, Disney did see this day. That's why we're here today. Scattered amongst the orange groves, empty fields, and vacant lots, Walt saw what others did not see. With perceptive vision, Disney seized his moment of opportunity. What about us? Mark 10, verse 46. Opportunity. Then they came to Jericho. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. How good it is of God to preserve this moment for us and include us in this moment by recording this truth, to allow us to stand on the road to see what can be seen, and to take in the sights of an all-seeing blind man. The better we see, the more we realize we are not independent. The better we see, the more we realize how totally dependent we are on God for everything. And the better we see all that there is to see about life, the more we realize how trustworthy God is every day. When I am trusting in my health, in my ability to control my health, I'm on a precariously thin ice. When we are trusting in our government to ensure peace and a purpose in life, we are precariously thin ice. When we are trusting, relying on friends for peace and purpose in this life, we are on precariously thin ice. When we are trusting in our finances and being able to manipulate and manage and take care of ourselves financially by making good and wise decisions, which obviously has its place, but when we're trusting in that for peace and purpose in life, we are again on thin ice. All of these things can fracture, fizzle, flee in just a simple conversation, a handshake, a misunderstanding, an unanticipated, unpredicted, and uncontrolled event. We are totally dependent on God. And that's not bad. Let's look at the background to understand a bit of our study this morning. Understanding the people, the purpose, and the place will bring us to a problem. The people, as we came into verse 46, a massive collection of people. People everywhere. Amongst those people is one, Jesus Christ. Amongst that massive collection of people are 12, the 12 disciples who've been closely following Jesus for quite some time. We have an unnumbered mob of people. And our story is going to highlight one of those, one of the mob, we might say. Well, most of the people are on the road with a purpose, going to Jerusalem. We're just days away from the Passover. It's the height of celebration for the Jewish nation. They are called to be there. Some are probably going out of tradition grudgingly. Others are excited, anticipating a religious moment, a religious experience. Some probably searching for the meaning and purpose of life. Some maybe just see the opportunity that a crowd brings. But they're on their way to the Passover, on their way to Jerusalem, and the place we find is Jericho. And we see in Mark this comment, as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples. Moving from Jericho to Jerusalem, I have a question for you. Can you help me out? Is this one of the supposed mistakes in the Bible? Help me out here. It says in Mark that they came to Jericho and Jesus is leaving Jericho. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 29, it says they were leaving Jericho. And in Luke 18, verse 35, it says Jesus was approaching Jericho. In each of those stories, we have the story of the blind man there. So which one is it? Which one's right? And if one's right, then someone else must be what? Wrong? Says he's approaching Jericho. He's leaving Jericho. Help me out. Are we entering or are we exiting Jericho? It's a good question. It's a fair question. It's a question we ought to look for the answers for. Now, grammatically, it can correctly be translated in the vicinity of Jericho, which solves the conundrum, the question. But as you look back in history, as you study history, what do we discover? There are two Jerichos, pretty much side by side. And he enters one, he exits the other. How many of you are familiar with the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho? And the walls came a tumbling down. Anybody heard that? Anybody? Okay, yeah. That's one of the Jerichos. And the walls came down and those ruins were there and they walked through those ruins. They walked past those ruins into a new Jericho that was the love of King Herod. He built his winter palace there. This was a beautiful area, land of almonds, palms, very agriculturally fertile. The weather was pleasant compared to some of the other places, more pleasant. This is where you wanted to go and hang out on vacation. This was his winter palace, and it is to this second Jericho that Herod goes to die. As we study Scripture, we find an amazing, as we study history, we study Scripture, we find the amazing confirmation of the Bible's accuracy, Scripture's accuracy. So Jesus is stepping out of the rubbles of old Jericho, past the winter palace, through the new Jericho, and on his way to Jerusalem, on the road, and we encounter the problem. A problem for one man, a beggar man named Bartimaeus. We're even given his father's name, Timaeus. One of the very unusual in the gospel accounts, and I think it is there for a reason. This blind man begging on the side of the road, why is he named? Very likely, the people know in the area, in town, know his name. They know Beggar Bart. And that's going to highlight some of the wonderful truths of Scripture even more in the next couple of verses. Let's take a look and four times, see four glances, and in those glances, there are four eye-openers for every one of us. Bartimaeus is going to help us understand what faith is all about and who faith is in. The hero of our story is not Bartimaeus, it's his Savior. But Bartimaeus is going to help us in spotlighting our Savior. Let's take a look, and we're going to build it all around this truth. The better we hear, the better we see. The better you hear today, the better you will see today. The better we hear Jesus, the better we're going to see Jesus and make the needed connections in life. Eye opener number one in verse 46. Notice his pressing faith. His pressing faith. A large crowd on the way to Jerusalem. Pressure, pressure, pressure. The pressure of time. Getting where they want to get on time. To be in the right place at the right time. Pressure, pressure, pressure. The better we hear Jesus, the better we see that this is an opportunity to be seized now, the opportunity to connect with Jesus. For Bartimaeus, for any of us in life here right this moment as you're listening, this is an opportunity to be seized, to connect with Jesus for the first time or in a greater way. This is not a moment to miss. There Bartimaeus is on the side of the road as we are standing on the side of the road observing. I'm not sure we'd say it's a good day to be a beggar. But in a sense, it's a good day and a good place because the crowds are passing by, which means opportunity. They're going to a religiously connected theme, which means they may be a bit more spiritually connected. They may be a bit more sympathetic. He may get some sympathy giving to motivated pilgrims who want to somehow have a religious connection. For Bartimaeus, this is an opportunity to be seized. As we think of the pressure of time, the time is urgent because Jesus is in the picture. And here's a window of opportunity that is open, and it would make sense for him to conclude this may never come about again. And as we study Scripture, Jesus never goes this way again. He's headed to Jerusalem for Passion Week, is going to die and rise again in the next 7 days. He's never coming back this way again. This is Bartimaeus' opportunity. The clock is ticking and God is present. He's passing by. It reminds all of us that today is the day of salvation. For you, today is the day of opportunity to reconnect with God, Today is the opportunity to stop going the wrong way and start going the right way, to return to God, to walk with God, to pursue the will of God for your life. Today is the day of opportunity. And it leaves me with the question, and I share the question with you: how eager am I to connect with Jesus? Here's the commitment to make right now. I am eager to connect with Jesus right now. Let's build on that. Eye opener number two in verse 47 and verse 48. We've noticed the pressure, the press of faith. Let's notice his penitent faith, number two. Penitent, word means sorrow over wrong. Sorrow over wrong. Notice Bartimaeus' penitent faith. And here we see in his life, in his actions, the better we hear Jesus, the better we will see needed, that there is needed mercy to be experienced today. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. That translation is a little kind and gentle. It was not a quiet and gentle moment. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This is not a one and done conversation going on. Bartimaeus makes one comment, the crowd makes another. This is this ongoing back and forth. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Shut up, be quiet, you're embarrassing us." Repeated over and over and over and over again on all sides. Bartimaeus seems to understand his condition of no hope. No hope physically, also no hope spiritually. No hope outside of God's help. He cries out for mercy. I think he cries out for mercy because he knows he needs mercy. And you know, you will never be right with God. And we will never reconnect with God if we don't have God's mercy. If we don't receive God's mercy. Grace, getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. All part of the salvation experience. And the question is, do we understand our need for God's mercy right now? "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus bases his appeal for mercy on the character of God, and this is a very elongated confession of faith that the audience who is listening in and in a sense rebuking him would have caught. Bartimaeus is stating that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Redeemer, and he's the King. Exactly what spiritually blind Israel refuses to acknowledge. And we're going to see that play out over the next 7 days in the life of Jesus. We learn from this man that we are weak. And we need God's mercy. We need mercy every day. We need mercy for every sin we commit. We need mercy for every sunrise we experience. We need mercy for every shortcoming and struggle we face. And let me share this with you, this good news coming out of Lamentations 3 and verse 22. The Lord's loving kindness is a very deep word that has within it the core of mercy. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion and strength, my soul. Therefore, I have great hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait on him, to the person who seeks him. Great is his faithfulness. And here's the text in the background for that great hymn. Great is his faithfulness. The better we see Jesus, the better we hear Jesus, the better we see that we don't want to miss the opportunity to connect with him. The better we see that we need mercy and there's mercy to be experienced today, and that gives us this, calls us to this commitment, we must not be too proud to beg for mercy. And I ask myself, I ask you, as you think back through your prayer life in the last few days, have we thanked God for the mercy he's already given us? Have we asked God for that ongoing expression of mercy in our life? Bartimaeus cries out and everyone else tries to silence him. Verse 49, here are two of the key words in this whole story. Jesus stopped. You might want to underline those words. Jesus stopped. Eye opener number three, notice his personal faith, the personal faith of Bartimaeus. We must come to Christ in faith. It is personal. It must be expressed. And the better we hear Jesus, the words of Jesus, the better we will see how interested God is in us individually. Jesus stopped and he said, call him here. Imagine the crowd there. We'll just take a moment to, what? We were trying to quiet this guy down, shut him up. And Jesus just told us to call him over to Jesus. And they do a quick change. So they call the blind man saying, take courage, stand up. Jesus is calling for you. Faith is personal, rooted in the reality of who Christ is and in our need. God is interested in us personally. Be encouraged today. Personal attention. Bartimaeus kept on crying. Persistent crying. You know, it's sad to notice that no one bothered to bring the man to Jesus. No one bothered, in a sense, throw this needy guy in front of someone who could make a difference. They're just kind of sitting on the sidelines and not being bridges, maybe being barriers. But he kept on crying, even in the cries to be silent. And Jesus stopped and called him. If you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, in there is the fact that God called you personally. And when God calls you personally, it's on you to respond personally. Jesus stopped and called him. he heard the one obscure voice in all the chaos. He responded personally with individual attention. And notice what he said. Jesus asked in verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" Would you like Jesus to ask you that question? Now, do you remember hearing that question before? It was last week. And Jesus asked his disciples, two of his disciples who had just come to him, "What do you want me to do?" And they said, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, put us at the front of the line." What did this guy respond? He responded, "Rabboni," which is a very respectful term. "I want to regain my sight." Before we hit what happens at the end, well, let's just roll into it right here. And Jesus said to him, look in verse 52, "Go, your faith has made you what?" Your faith has made you well. The translation I'm reading, Jesus did not use the word for heal here. He used the one New Testament word for save, sozo. Your faith has saved you eternally. Don't miss the beauty of here. Bartimaeus receives a physical healing. His sight is restored. He receives a spiritual healing for eternity. Call him here. We are not a number, but a name to the Creator. And out of that application comes a couple of commitments on our end. One, we must not neglect Jesus' invitation. You don't want to miss the opportunity. I don't know what your future holds. I don't know what my future holds. I know who holds the future. And I know in this moment, we are all under the word of God, seeking to hear his words as Bartimaeus heard the words, so that we can see all that there is to see about this life and the life to come. We must not neglect Jesus' invitation. And also, get a little extra one here. Every day, we should cry out to Jesus from our heart with details. You know, I never need to give Jesus new information. I never can give Jesus new information. But he does want us to come to him, not so much in the generic, but in the specific. So go to him this afternoon, this week, not in the generic, but in the specific. What is pressing on your life? What is taking you down? And you're not sure you can see the top of the wave or be able to get up. Go to him with the details. That's for our benefit. And does a tremendous work in us as we release our burdens into the hands of an all-powerful, compassionate God. Eye opener number 4, verse 52. Notice the pursuing faith of Bartimaeus. He followed Jesus on the road. Your faith has made you well. Immediately, key word in the in Mark's vocabulary, immediately he regained his sight, began to follow Jesus on the road. The better we hear Jesus, the better we see Jesus. As Bartimaeus was there on the side of the road blind, somehow he had a knowledge of Jesus, but he never saw him until he was healed. Everything he's been taking in has been audio, verbal, hearing what others said about him. Don't know, but no indication that he never heard Jesus speak until these moments. But when he hears the words of Jesus, he responds to the words of Jesus, and he sees Jesus as we all want to see Jesus. And before we wind up this last eye-opener, if you want to work at putting the truths into action, having a conversation starter with your family, try this at home. Be the blind Bartimaeus sitting down on the road. Close your eyes and then do what Bartimaeus did, which was take courage, stand, and verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. So I guess put a coat on, be sitting there with your eyes closed, and then stand up and take off your cloak, your coat, and walk over to someone else in the family with your eyes closed. I tried it. We're not going to do it here. But try it at home. It might help your kids interact with the truth a little. He cast aside his cloak, his coat. That may have been the only possession he had. It would have been the source of warmth at night. Typically, the beggars would take their coat out and spread it out in front of them as kind of a target for people passing by to throw their change. And he disposed of everything that brought him security and maybe comfort at the moment. Nothing got in the way of moving to Jesus. And it reminds us that following Jesus comes with a cost. You may not hear that everywhere, but when the Word of God is opened, that's what it tells us about being a disciple of Jesus. It comes with a cost. In a sense, it costs everything, and we give everything, and we trust Jesus to fill in the details. As I think of this man, I think of my life, and I share it with you. You know, coats can be very comfortable. You probably wore something in today. You grabbed it from the closet or off the couch. It's something you're comfortable with, you're familiar with. And coats can be very comfortable, and they may even cost us Jesus if we're not willing to let him go. And we're wanting to hold on to them at the expense of connecting with this man walking down the road. He threw aside his cloak, jumped up, and he came to Jesus. And he began to follow him on the road. And it reminds us that we must not be afraid of tomorrow. Part of the commitment that the truth and the application calls us to, we must not be afraid of tomorrow. What happened to this former blind man who is known as the son of Timaeus? What happened to him? We're not told a lot of details, hardly any, except he kept following Jesus on the road. Where are they going? To Jerusalem. What's going to happen in the next 7 days? The Passion Week is going to happen, culminating with the crucifixion of Jesus at the cross. If you were someone who was blind that had been miraculously healed by Jesus and had made this spiritual connection with him, wouldn't you naturally be going with Jesus wherever he went in Jerusalem? Likely, he took in a number of the events of the Passion Week. The triumphal entry, that would have been an exciting time. Bartimaeus is excited, everybody else is excited. But then the negative comes in, the confrontation at the temple, the betrayal, the trials, the crucifixion. And the man you'd been so enamored with a week ago is now executed. And everybody, or many people, know you because of your name and your experience. Faith implies daily following, and faith is regularly stretched. I got a hunch, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to meet up with this man again. And he may have some really fascinating firsthand experiences and testimony. He may have been one of the 120 in the upper room that met Jesus early on. He may have been one of the 500 who saw Jesus resurrected. He can tell you all about that. But again, he's not the hero of the story. The hero of the story is the one who's no longer hanging on a cross, the one who's no longer rotting in a tomb. He's the one who's sitting on a throne. And he knows your name. And his heart is filled with love for you. Let's look at our look. And let's look at our listen. Just a couple days ago, Kim and I were in Kansas City, and we were getting ready to go to the funeral that we were going to, packing up and getting ready to head to the church. And Kim noticed that the phone in our room was blinking. She said, "Jim, I think we've got a message." And I'm thinking, well, it's the hotel telling us to leave. And pay our bill on the way out. She goes, "Well, should I?" And I said, "It's probably nothing." Well, she decided to hit the play button. And this is what I heard. "Rachel, is that you? This is Dad. We're just wondering if you're up and moving around. Now, I'm beginning to think the problem is not with the telephone. The problem is with you not hearing anything." Click. We just thought, it's like, oh, I needed a conclusion. Now I got one. The problem is you're not hearing anything. Bartimaeus heard the words of Jesus. He responded to the words of Jesus, which allowed him to see Jesus in an even better way. If we don't take the time to hear, we aren't going to be able to keep processing the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, check our ears. Check our vision. We have looked at and listened to Jesus. May we now better hear him and see all that there is to see. Father, we come into your presence, and you have allowed us to be here through the work of your Son, the Son of God. He willingly became our sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice. He did what only he could do, what we needed done and could not do ourselves. Completely cover our sins. And he not only does the future, but he is active in the present in our lives. Sometimes he uses and allows hard things into our life to bring us closer to him, and at times to shine Jesus for others to bring them closer to him. But we all have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by admitting we're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ is God the Son, and confessing him as our Lord and Savior. We're also called to live the life of adventure, of walking with Jesus every day. And there is nothing that we have to offer Jesus except our imperfect love and obedience. That's what he desires, and that's what he accepts. And in this moment of time, may we decide to walk through the door of opportunity and to connect with Jesus for the first time or in a fresh way. If we need to come back, we come back. If we need to go ahead, we don't hold back. As we saw in the example of Bartimaeus, even as we see in the example of Jesus Christ, we are all in for Jesus. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Would you